Well, now to the latest on emerging technologies and tech companies with This Week in Tech. Joining me from our Melbourne studio is entrepreneur and technology author Steve Sammartino, who you may remember from our Techtopia series last year. Steve, welcome once again.
Thank you for having me.
So one of the big stories this week is the rocketing cryptocurrency market. What's going on?
Yeah, so we've had the total market capitalization of all cryptocurrencies rising threefold this year from around $25 billion to now $75 billion. And the big two, Bitcoin and Ethereum, are heading the charge. The value of a single Bitcoin has more than doubled, but Ethereum has risen 21-fold. But the interesting thing is that there's been more than 100 ICOs, which stands for an initial coin offering this year.
Some are calling this a bubble. Is this driven by the same sort of irrational exuberance that we saw with the dot-com boom back in the late 90s?
Yeah, I think it is. I think people are starting to realise within the financial and governmental community that cryptocurrencies are not going to go away and they are going to be a staple of our modern economy. The question is, which of these cryptocurrencies is going to fail and which ones are going to be the winner? So people are investing, I think, exuberantly in a way where they're hoping for irrational economic profits, which they're not going to get.
These initial coin offerings too are often actually not backed by anything substantial, are they?
No, absolutely not. It's an open source platform, which is based on what the original cryptocurrency Bitcoin was done. And anyone could start a coin just by putting a platform out there and releasing coins on the market using that open source software. So there's very little underneath it. But there is another problem as well, because these ICOs fall outside of the governance of the SEC and ASIC in Australia. But they behave much like IPOs on the stock market, and creative technologists can raise large amounts of capital with a new cryptocurrency, exit their own position, and this is without any regulatory hurdles or oversight. And they're even calling them now crowd sales and token sales, just to obfuscate the issue somewhat and slip through that regulatory net.
Now, there's also some interesting news about a challenge to one of the world's biggest tech companies, Amazon, from China. Tell us about that.
It was interesting that Jeff Bezos, the CEO of Amazon, unveiled plans to deliver by drones 4 years ago. And outside of one delivery that they did in the UK, they really haven't managed to do that due to commercial drone use regulations. But the Amazon of China, JD.com, has started deliveries in outer Beijing and four other provinces.
So the Chinese have beaten Amazon to the punch on using drones.
The Chinese are beating Amazon at their own game, and their deliveries, it's not inconsequential either. The deliveries are up to 910 kilos, and the packages are flown on fixed routes. What's really interesting is that it's showing that developing markets are beating developed economies in new technologies.
Is that simply because they don't have the regulation? The safety concerns?
Absolutely. So there's a real advantage in markets which don't have the same regulatory hurdles through transport and other consumer safety arenas. And with many exponential technologies, it seems that having a lax regulatory environment is a major advantage for these economies. And often with a new technology like an app store or search or drones or driverless cars, it's very much a winner-takes-all environment once someone nails the technology, because they can become the platform that goes the world over. So it's a very big challenge for developed economies like Australia to, on the one hand, think about consumer safety, but there is also a bit of a race to see who can go to market first and test in the real world.
Steve, Amazon is planning to launch in Australia in 2018. Is it likely to see competition from the Chinese?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the things that we'll see in Australia is both retailers like JD.com coming to Australia, and Amazon in Australia, interestingly, are starting to increase their presence in physical stores. So the lines are blurring between digital e-commerce and traditional retail. And the Australian big retailers, Coles and Woolworths, need to be aware that it's more than likely that Amazon will become a physical retailer as well. They've recently registered trademarks in the UK and will be opening stores in the UK, Amazon. And we can expect in Australia the retail market to hot up with all forms of delivery via drones and also physical stores from traditional online retailers. So interesting times for some of Australia's biggest employers with Coles and Woolworths.
Now, Steve, we've talked about 3D printing a lot on this program. This week, one of the world's car manufacturers announced it'll start selling 3D printed spare parts. Car companies have been using 3D printers for their prototypes for some years now. Why is this significant? significant?
I think it's significant because we're seeing consolidation within the manufacturing. So Volkswagen have announced that they'll produce sellable spare parts entirely created by 3D printing. And with many old cars facing obsolescence due to irreplaceable technology and aging parts, it actually is becoming increasingly difficult for consumers to source parts from original manufacturers. But I think it's interesting that it opens up an opportunity for micro industries. I mean, for me, the interesting thing, especially considering Ford and Holden and Toyota exiting Australia, is will they allow their software and their rights and their designs to be 3D printed and potentially create a burgeoning and fledgling support industry for the manufacturing of parts in countries where these auto manufacturers are no longer present? It actually, I think, is a fork in the road for the splitting of manufacturing and design, where physical things become software and they can be outsourced to other manufacturers on behalf of the manufacturers who own the rights to the designs and the cars.
Finally, Steve, the crowdfunding campaign of the week. Why has one about a blanket caught your eye?
This is a really interesting one. So a crowdfunding campaign called the Gravity Blanket has a funding which closes today in a few short hours, and they managed to raise an astounding $4.5 million on Kickstarter for a blanket which is a therapeutic one. They've been used for some time for conditions such as autism and dementia, OCD. This crowdfunding campaign set out to raise $21,000. In the first day, it raised $250,000, and its campaign looks at closing today at $4.5 million, which is absolutely astounding.
What happens when you raise $4.5 million instead of the $21,000 you're asking for? Do you just make more blankets?
I mean, this is the interesting thing, is that crowdfunding is actually more than a financial element. So what we're seeing increasingly is crowdfunding becomes a brand awareness tool, a marketing tool, and a way of gaining immediate distribution. And so it clearly means that your profit margins will increase and you'll be able to produce more. So you get that scale of manufacturing. So the truth is, the founders of this program, it becomes far more profitable than they originally envisioned. That's what happens. You basically make more money with it because you're not raising equity. You're really just pre-selling a product. This one I found incredibly interesting because while the backers, 20,000 of which there are, have to wait until October to get their blanket, if they did just a little bit of searching, they might find that they could probably get one similar and delivered tomorrow.
Steve Sammartino, thanks very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
It's entrepreneur and technology author Steve Sammartino.